Blog Talk Radio.
Tornado.
Hey.
How you doing? I got a question for you.
We're live. Already.
I'm going to ask you a question live then so everybody in the world can hear it.
All right, go ahead.
My question is your city going to blow 2-3 to nothing leads?
Oh, don't even start. All right.
That would be hysterical.
All right, well, let me just get the formal introduction first before people start asking questions about who the hell we are. Rich
Bergeron. Oh, yeah, this is a tornado, Tony Pennycal. I'm sitting here with my good friend Vinny.
Vinny the doggy?
Yeah, Vinny's there. Hi, Vinny. Say hi, buddy.
Good dog. beautiful, wonderful combat sports show coming your way. And we have a gentleman who's a big-time promoter up in the Combat Zone. He's going to be having a show up in New Hampshire. His name is David George, promoter of Combat Zone. CZMMA.com is the website. And basically, they're going to have this huge fight outdoors up in Meadowbrook Musical Arts Center on June 19th. And Calvin Kattar, who we had on the show a few weeks ago, is going to be fighting on that card. Pretty big fight. And there's also some fights this weekend, this Friday, tomorrow night. And also, there was some fights last Friday that I went to talk about. So we have plenty to discuss. And no, the Celtics are not going to blow a 3-game lead like the Bruins did. Unlike hockey, it's never been done in NBA. So that's all I'll say.
Really? Hasn't?
Never.
It's never been done in baseball?
Yeah, obviously. The Sox did it.
I know, that's what I was asking.
Anyway, the big fights last weekend, not only did I go and see them and do a report, but I also was interviewed on a show that's going to air tomorrow night on Cyber Station Radio by the guy who was sitting next to me. He picked me up and brought me on his show. So this is my second radio show of the week.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Pretty popular.
But basically, I don't know why you picked me to go on a show, because I picked Pujanowski to win the big fight of the main event. That was this Mushin show over in Worcester, Massachusetts. And it was quite the experience. I mean, this is one of the biggest MMA shows to hit Massachusetts in forever. There's Tony. You there, Tony? All right, we lost Tony. But anyway, it was one of the biggest shows in Massachusetts. The Worcester.
Okay, what happened?
I don't know what happened there. You went busy for a while. What I was saying is the Worcester DCU Center, where the fights were. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, well, you had a hang up sound there, so what the heck is that? Anyway,
I'm trying to call you back to let you know I got disconnected.
All right.
Call me for the hang up.
Okay, so the DCU Center in Worcester holds about 13,000 people, and it was definitely at least about half full, I'd say. And there were Polish people everywhere. It was like, it wasn't Worcester, it was like it was Warsaw or something. There were people in the hallway. I mean, it was like everywhere you looked, it was red and white as their country colors, so. All kinds of Polish people in the Worcester County, I guess. So they showed up in force, and there was another guy on the card who actually won his fight from Poland. And he actually had one of the best knockouts of the night. He hit the guy with a couple crisp elbows standing up and knocked him right to the ground and then finished it there. But there was also a great female fight, Roxy Modafferi versus Tara LaRosa. And I thought, really, LaRosa landed the better shots in the last two rounds and might have won the fight. But, you know, the first round was definitely Modafferi's, and all she had to do was win one of the other two on two cards. So she won that fight and looked pretty decent doing it. I shook her hand after the fight. I said, geez, you know, she's got the softest, lightest handshake. I can't believe she hits hard. But she was throwing some bombs herself, so that was a pretty good fight. And there will definitely be a rematch. Those are two of the best females in the, really in the whole country right now at MMA at their weight. And then we also we had Travis Luter, the old Zion-sponsored fighter, looking like nobody's going to sponsor him in the near future. He got decked pretty early, and he was all done. He was probably the only guy that got knocked completely out for the whole card. Butterbean didn't fight, unfortunately. We had that scratch there of his supposed opponent there, LB, backed out. Because the commission wouldn't approve him, I guess. But I did see Butterbean, and I got a picture like you got with him, where he was like, make it quick. And then it was funny, because I'm at the press conference afterwards, and, you know, this is a local thing, so there's a guy that I go to local shows, and he's the one that does a lot of the promoting for the boxing, and just got into the MMA. So he's doing the PR for this, and he's running the press conference, and he knows me. You know, I've seen him in all these events, and so you know, they're asking a ton of questions of all the panelists on the press conference, and Butterbean's up there, and nobody's asking him anything. So I said, I got a question for the promoters. I just want to know when you guys are going to be doing this again locally. And like before I even asked it, I just kind of raised my hand, and they called me by name. So Butterbean was like giving me the different look, and like, when I asked to take the picture, he was like, make it quick, like, I don't know who the heck you are. And then when I asked the question, it was like he was trying to go out of his way to make sure he answered it fully and completely. And he was like, oh, we love this place, you know, we think we could live here, you know, we were talking about that, we'll definitely be back. And this show is actually from Korea. Butterbean imported it from Korea, and he's like the main promoter, so he's done a great job with it. He got the people from all over the world. He had a Korean fighter actually on the card. People that train all over the world and are known all over the world. Tim Sylvia is maybe kind of washed up in a lot of people's eyes, but he has a ton of experience. And that was a great draw. And even he was saying it was kind of weird to be in New England and get booed because he's from Maine. And you know, all the Polish fans are booing him because of Budzianowski. I joked at the end of his he's the world's strongest failure at MMA. But he actually did cheat a little bit too. He grabbed the fence. He had a nice cobra clutch going on the fence to try to keep Tim from getting out at the beginning. And he got one slam. He slammed him down, but Sylvia got right back up. And there was a real good article. I forget who wrote it, but somebody had it listed on ESPN from Sherdog, I think. And they said if this fight had been in Colorado, Pudzianowski might have exploded. He turned so red, and all the oxygen from his muscles just killed him. You know, it's like a repeat of the Kimbo versus Mitrione fight, because you had two guys of, you know, pretty much opposite physiques, and the guy with the shitty physique won the fight.
Right.
But Sylvia was banged up too after the fight. He had a busted up knee, but he connected a couple good knees to the face with Pudzianowski. And that's really what did the most damage to him. I mean, he also had a lot of punches in the fight, and he used his reach very well. And Pudzianowski pretty much, he threw like a couple leg kicks, and then he just tried to take him down, and it just wasn't working for him. So he realized he couldn't throw with him. He got taken down finally. Actually, fell down on his back and just kind of waited there. And then Sylvia jumped on him, rotated a couple times, and he was done. Punched him a few times in the head, and he tapped. So it was kind of a crazy fight, but, you know, the Polish fans were obviously very disappointed. The guy I was with said, you know, we might have to leave early if these guys, if Pudzianowski loses or whatever. But they just went silent. They weren't rowdy or anything. Although I heard they said to stop selling beer because earlier they were so rowdy. The Polish fans are too rowdy.
Oh, that's crazy. I remember all the Andrew Gelada fights they would have. You know, they were always nuts. Mm-hmm.
And we actually we had a lot of fun there. There was some real nice setups there for the press. Boss Rutan was also there from Inside MMA, and he's got the stellar MMA background and career before he did the announcing. He announces a lot of shows, and he was working with some regular Joes this time, but it was good to see him. He was very, very friendly, you know, like for a guy who's well known and has been around. He took his time, and he was back after the whole thing was over. People were lining up to just take pictures with him, and he was obliging everybody. I mean, he stayed there for an extra half an hour after the show, just taking pictures of people. And somebody yelled out, I got on video, somebody goes, hey, can I buy you a beer at the after party? And he goes, oh, sorry, I don't drink anymore, buddy. But it was just very laid back and, you know, nice guy. And it was kind of funny because he was the one who trained Kimbo before Kimbo went to the UFC. So, you know, it was kind of a similar fight to the Kimbo's last fight. And a similar build, really, with the muscles. And that got me talking on the other radio show this week that I was on about what does a guy like that do? I mean, this guy is built for something else. He's built for the strongman competition, so... You know, picking up a guy is nothing like picking up an Atlas stone. He found that out the hard way. And it made me think, you know, how do you reverse that? How do you go from muscle that's built for looks and, you know, competitive events like that to something that you need for endurance and repetition? Can you reverse a body type like that? That's the other question I had. I mean, I don't know whether you need a physiologist to come in and analyze that or not, but would you say you could reverse that? I mean, could, I don't know.
I mean, question. I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm not a physical therapist or a personal trainer like that. I couldn't tell you.
I think he needs to start doing some yoga, stretch out those fucking arms.
Maybe you're right.
He needs the reach and the stretching and the flexibility. I think that's what really killed him. Obviously,
yeah,
cardio.
When Randall Holyfield was first bulking up to heavyweight from cruiserweight back in the late 80s, he was the first guy to really use Mackie Shillstone. I think Michael Spinks may have used him too. Holyfield was the first guy to really use a lot of weightlifting to bulk up. But Holyfield used to say after every weight training session he had, they did a whole workout of just stretching and flexibility. Because once you get muscle band and tight like that, forget it, you're done.
Yeah, and especially when it's not just throwing punches. I mean, this guy has to wrestle and grapple, and you know, it just doesn't work when you have those, number one, short arms because you have so many muscles, and number two, you've been lifting for so long for power and not for endurance and speed. So all his muscles are, you know, the long, thin type of muscle. It's like the short, fat, big type of muscle. And Kimbo, I mean, he's got even more bigger biceps than the freaking world's strongest man there. So it makes sense to me now why he would gas too. It's got to be the same deal with the lactic acid building up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been playing that forever.
And I didn't realize. I mean, I thought Kimbo was just out of shape, but... It's definitely, I mean, he's probably done a lot more than Pudzianowski getting ready for his MMA career. Well, he definitely has, I would say. And he still had the same problems. So I don't think it's necessarily their work ethic as much as it is their body type now that I've seen Pudzianowski do the same thing. And maybe we need to have a strength and conditioning coach on or something. We need Corey just from Discipline. We got to ask him. My sponsor there. He'll know. He's a strength and conditioning coach. But you know, that aside, it was a good effort by Pudzianowski for his third fight to go in there with a guy like Tim Sylvia and at least trade and try. He tried. He got him down on the ground. He's a 300-pound guy. You know, picked him up, threw him down, and was about to jump on top of him, but he was like a kid in a candy store. He didn't know what to do. He's like, oh man, I got him now. Let me try to get on top of him. Oh, too late. He's up. So. That fight was it was interesting, even though I expected Pudzianowski to do a little better. He was definitely, you know, he put it all out there. It was great. The backstage area after the fight was great. You know, going to the press conference and all that, and, you know, meeting all these people behind the scenes. It was really the first time I've done that since the small fights. You know, with this many celebrities around, I was just like, what the heck? You know, I was talking to Herb Dean backstage. You know him, the MMA ref.
I've heard the name, I don't know him, but...
Well, Herb Dean, you know, he's backstage, just chilling out, walking around, and, you know, so I told him, that's from this website, check it out, you know, unlimitedfightnews.com. So he goes, you want my number? Like, great, you know, so we got like four different candidates for future shows. Herb Dean's definitely one of them. So, that was good. But other than that, tomorrow night we got some fights in Plymouth going on. Lee Bean, who was sitting next to me for most of this Mushin card, is going to be fighting Christian Moorcraft, two former guests. We both have them both on the show. That's the big main event tonight. Also, my good friend there that I did the tribute and the plaque for, his cousin's husband is going to be fighting at that event, Mark Griffin. And so... we're definitely going to be cheering him on. He wears a shirt and everything with Tony's picture on it when he goes in the ring, so that's real cool. And should be a good night of fights. I know he's actually fighting Jerry the Punching Bag Spiegel.
The Punching Bag?
That's his real nickname, yes.
Nice.
Awesome. He does take quite a licking, too. I mean, he's earned that nickname. Usually when I've seen him, he's either, you know, going for a heel hook or getting knocked out. Oh, he's had some interesting fights. I seen him one time where it was almost like he just jumped right to the guy's foot from the bell. And the guy was, he grabbed him by the legs and he was punching him in the side of the head from standing up. And Spiegel had his head on the mat. He just latched onto the guy's ankle and got him some kind of crazy submission and tore the guy's Achilles tendon or something. It was so bad. But he was, you know, the guy was, the whole time as he was having his ankle grabbed, was punching Jerry in the head. And he wasn't getting knocked out. He was holding on for dear life. And he probably would have gotten knocked out a few more punches if he didn't pull the guy's ACL or whatever. That doing. So that should be a decent fight. I think Mark's going to take care of him pretty easily, but we'll see. We'll see if the punching bag's been training extra hard for this one. We have Vasquez versus Marquez Four over the weekend. I don't know how that went, so maybe you can.
Well, it was actually kind of a disappointing fight, and I don't know if you remember what I said on the show last week. There was a lot of hype going into this fight. You thought it should be. Their first three fights were just absolutely fantastic. But their third fight, which was probably the most brutal out of all three of them, was so brutal, give and take, that both guys had to take about a year off. And I remember, like, their first fight, Marquez won when he broke Vasquez's nose sixth round. Then Vasquez won the second fight, he stopped Marquez. The third fight was, I mean, just back and forth. I mean, brutal. And Vasquez won because he knocked Marquez down with like 10 seconds to go. And that gave him a 2-point swing to one by 1 point. But when Vasquez came back, his first fight in like 15 months after that fight, you could tell that, you know, that wasn't the same guy. I mean, he struggled against a fighter that in his prime wouldn't have made three rounds with him. And I was like, I just had a bad feeling about this fight. You know, that first of all, it wouldn't live up to the trilogy. And second of all, that, you know, Marquez was a 2-1 favorite, even though he had lost two of the three fights, for a reason. and Vasquez looked that bad in his last fight. And the fears were correct because Vasquez was getting hit with, I mean, everything. And there was a punch that caused a cut, and there was a headbutt that caused a cut on the other eye of Vasquez. And then finally, Marquez hit him with a right hand, right on the eyebrow, and put him down to his knees. And when Vasquez got up, I mean, it looked like literally that there was a second eye on top of his eye. It was that wide open, and it was nasty. Then Marquez landed a few more punches, and they stopped the fight, which they had to. And it was a third-round stoppage. People asked if there was going to be a fifth fight, which I hope there wouldn't be. Vasquez's manager said there would not be, that Vasquez was retiring. And I hope that's right, because, I mean, he looked bad in that fight, and you hate to see a guy like that get hurt, and he's a great warrior.
Yeah. There's also, I don't know what's upcoming for boxing this weekend, but there's also a big UFC card. Another one, Rampage versus, drawing a blank. Evans, Rashad Evans, finally. It's funny, the last, the ultimate fighter they were supposed to already fight during that finale. That's already happened, but instead, Rampage went to go film the A-Team. And apparently, either he's a bad actor or nobody wanted him to do anything else just yet until they've seen the movie. So, I mean, I haven't seen the movie myself, but I don't know whether it was a deal where he didn't want to go to court over it or what, but I think Rampage just at least decided that he's either coming back to fighting because he misses it or because he has to because of the contract issues or whatever the deal is with that. He must have signed some kind of deal. And speaking of the Ultimate Fighter, I saw Rich Attenito at the show backstage and talked to him. I called him Rich Clemente about six times by accident. That's a guy who's already established in the UFC. But I knew his name was Rich, so I got that much right. And he was telling me those guys signed a $5 million confidentiality agreement. So if they breach it, they're liable for $5 million. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But I guess that's why they keep such good secrets about that show. Nobody knows what's, to this day, I still don't know what's going on with Tito and Chuck. I didn't see this last week's episode, so maybe that was on there. But anyway, I digress. The UFC card that's coming up, we got Rampage versus Rashad Evans. And they each have a little bit of commonality there with the current season of The Ultimate Fighter. Because you got Rampage, who beat Chuck Liddell, knocked him out. And then you got Rashad Evans, who had that fight with Tito Ortiz. That was a draw. I think it was a couple of years ago now, if I remember correctly. But I remember watching that fight, and there was one point where Tito had grabbed the fence to prevent a takedown. And they didn't, I don't know whether they took a point off or what, but that was like a big factor in the fight. So it was like a lot of people were saying that should have been Rashad's first loss. But it wasn't. It was Machida. So Rampage has the more experience, but Evans has the better percentage of wins. So it's going to be an interesting fight. I kind of like Rampage, even though he had the time off and all that. Went and did the filming of the A-Team. I really think that his experience factor is going to come through. And I was asked on the other show about, you know, whether I think the rivalry and the hatred and all that is going to play into it. And I, you know, as much as I think they do genuinely hate each other, I really don't think that's going to be a factor this time. You know, I think they're just, you know, they're so used to fighting. It really doesn't matter whether they hate the guy or not. You know, these guys are just, they're just going to fight like it was any opponent that they really want to beat. I don't think the hatred is going to really make them screw up or do better. I don't think it's going to be that much of a factor. And even if it is, who would admit that, you know?
Right.
Well, I say that after a fight. Usually after the fight, they're hugging and making up, you know? except for Josh Koscheck and Paul Daly. But yeah, that's a pretty interesting card throughout the whole thing. Obviously, that's a big main event, and we'll have to see. Well, what's the big boxing show this weekend?
Well, Jim Boxer Hopkins has been, funky until I get to a new one.
Yep.
Is there anything on HBO or Showtime this weekend? It's Memorial Day weekend. I don't know. I don't know. That'd be a good answer, ain't it? A question for you, just because I think you said something, but I don't know if I didn't hear it right, or I was zoning out for a minute because I heard something in another room. Is there a big UFC pay-per-view this weekend? Please tell me there isn't.
There is, yes. Well, I was just talking about that. Jackson.
I know you were, and I thought you said it was this weekend, but I had missed when it was.
Oh, yes. It's
and the reason I'm asking is I'll bet you $1 million, okay? Now, you know what Saturday night is?
What? Your birthday?
Saturday night
is
what?
Is it your birthday?
No, my birthday is in September.
Oh.
Send a present, by the way. no. Saturday night is Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
It's the perfect time to grill up some hamburgers and hot dogs, drink some beers, wear your favorite black and orange clothes, and let the Flyers in game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. Now, my one retarded friend who lives and dies for the UFC, even though he's like, I could show him a 6-year-old girl and he'd still probably lose. I know he will text me Saturday, hey, man, what are you doing tonight? You know the NHL Finals are tonight, right? Hold on a good word to you, would you never come over? Like, I never come over because you act like an ass every time I come over. And you tell me about all the great stuff you've never done. That'd be like me telling you about the time I beat Mike Tyson, even though it was only in the game.
Wow.
So I just know the text is coming in, about 36 hours. Hey!
Are you breaking up on us?
Congratulations.
Lose you? Tony! What happened? Alright, I'm hanging up on you. Oh, no, I'm not. I already did.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm having real bad weather here, so that might be messing with my signal. For like 1 second, let me set up.
The weather was messing with my internet signal last night. And we had thunderstorms.
Yeah, we're having real bad ones tonight. We were supposed to, but they're just starting to kick in now.
I thought that was only satellite TV that the weather screws up, but I guess not.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I get shitty reception in this town anyway.
Well, it's about time for our interview. So I'm going to give Dave George a call. And we're going to find out about this Combat Zone 33, Larry Bird, which has been comparing good old Rondo to lately. You know, I think he's a lot better than Larry Bird was. But still young. Anyway, I think that's going to be a pretty good series, but I definitely think it's next game and done. But of course, I thought that the last 2 games. Anyway, that would be really devastating. Second, 3 trips.
Oh,
Hi, you've reached David George and also the voice of the Combat Zone. Please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Dave, this is Rich Bergeron calling from Pike News Unlimited. And we got Tony the Tornado Pentacal on the line here.
Yo.
Connect with you. And basically, we're going to give you a few minutes and try to call you back, I guess. The other option, you can call in. The call-in number is 347-324-3228. So if you get this and call right in, we'll be live on the air. And if not, we'll try you back. So that gives us a few minutes to talk about the world television schedule for boxing.
Yeah, like I said, bring it up. I'll go over the box track with me, and I'll see if my wingman skills can have a few tidbits.
Jesus fight of the week. It's in Sao Paulo, Brazil, on Friday. Super flyweight match between Jenelson Jesus Dos Santos, 7-0 with 6 knockouts, versus Jose Acioli de Barros, who's 6-29 with 3 draws. And this is for, get this, the vacant Brazilian super flyweight title. We got a sort of interesting fight over in Francais on Friday, a 12-round welterweight fight for the interim WBA World Welterweight title between Soleiman Mbai, 38-3 with 1 draw and 21 knockouts, fighting undefeated Antonin Decali, 23-0 with 7 knockouts. And the vacant France middleweight title is on the line, on the undercard, the co-main event, between Julien Marie Saint, 25-2 with 19 knockouts, and Francois Bastient, 37-7 with 16 knockouts, 1 draw. Ooh, here's the mismatch of the week, for sure, over in Abruzzo, Italy. This guy, it must be royalty or something. Well, he's obviously a good fighter, but it's a six-rounder. Six-rounder super middleweight fight between Lorenzo Di Giacomo, who's 38-3 with 1 draw and 19 knockouts, fighting Lubo Hantak, 2-33. Though all two of his wins are by way of knockout.
Well, that's good.
All two. Not just half.
He's got a knockout percentage of 100%. You can't argue with that.
We got fights in Nicaragua going on this weekend.
That's better than Mike Tyson. That's even better than the great Rocky Marciano.
Right. There's an interesting fight. Shannon Briggs versus Rob Calloway on Friday. Virginia
Boxing. Briggs just had a fight. He knocked the guy out in like 20 seconds with like 2 punches. And you know what? You know why I'm not impressed?
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because it took him 50% of his punches to knock the guy out. I mean, I've been impressed if he knocked the guy out with 1 punch. I saw, what's his face? Jimmy Thunder do that to Crawford Grimsley. 1 punch. 100% of his punches landed, knocked the guy out.
Well, Briggs this time, he's 15-5, 1 draw, 44 knockouts. He's
had 55 fights.
I know. Calloway has 70 wins, 57 knockouts, 11 losses, 6 by knockout, and 2 draws. Let's see, who did he let last beat? Do you know that, Rain Man?
Oh, Rob Calloway, who did he last beat? Oh, you know what? And I do know who it is, too. Hold on. Let me think. It was what is it? Was it Max Alexander?
No, that was 2008, and that was a draw.
I know they fought. I thought he'd beaten them.
But
I know
he's had three losses and one win since then. Lost to Alexander Alexeyev, who was undefeated. Lost to Grigory Grozd, who has one loss. Or had one loss. I don't know if he still has one loss. And also Pavel Kolodziej, who was the last guy he fought in December of last year, who's undefeated. He was undefeated at 23-0. And that was at 198 pounds he weighed in at. And he beat him RTD in the sixth round.
So who was the last guy he beat then? I know that somebody
that
was
like... He was 9-14, weighed 240 pounds, and his name was Clinton Boldridge.
Yeah, that would have totally been off, because I would have thought that the last guy he beat was even an upset over, like, a guy that was at one time a major star, somebody like Bruce Sullivan or somebody.
It was a trick question.
No, there is no trick questions when it comes to Rain Man.
You have to go major fights with Rain Man, or else it doesn't register, right? All right, well, we have Argentina fights the IBF light flyweight title on the line down there on Saturday. Light flyweight, Carlos Tamara, 21-4, 15 knockouts, and Luis Alberto Lazarte, 46-9, with 18 knockouts, 1 draw. And there might be another mismatch of the week here. There's two of them on the same card. A 10-round light welterweight fight from Austria between Uwe Trichler, 1-1-1, and Ali Chushenov, who's 20-0 with 11 knockouts. Then we have another undefeated guy, Gabor Vito, who's 17-0 with 14 knockouts, fighting Jagiz Tavmazjan, who's 0-4. Great job on the matchmaking there, Austrians. You win the gold star for mismatches this week. Well, the Canadians want to get in on the mismatches, too. They got Ian McKillop, middleweight, 25-11, 14 knockouts, 3 draws, fighting Patrick Tessier, who's 3-11, 1 draw. That's not so bad, at least he said. More fights. That's not 0-4 versus 17-0. What else do we have? Saturday. Trying to find a good fight. Here we go. Vitaly Klitschko versus Albert Sosnowski.
Oh, yeah. How can I forget it?
Both those guys have 2 losses. Sosnowski has been knocked out once. Klitschko twice. 1 draw for Sosnowski, none for Klitschko, 39 wins for Klitschko, 45 for Sosnowski. Sosnowski has 27 knockouts, Klitschko has 37, so he's only had 2 decision wins.
Yeah.
2 decisions, period, because he'd been knocked out twice when he lost. for the WBC heavyweight title, of course, and I would say that it's going to be a pretty decent fight. And Klitschko hasn't really lost any time recently, and Sosnowski has, so if anything, that might be a factor. His last loss was to Zory Lawrence, who was not a great fighter, from what I understand.
Yeah, Zory Lawrence, I'll tell you, man, if you want to read something funny regarding this fight, there is a boxing writer for Ring Magazine for Giving Back. He's always at, like, the very end of the very back few pages of Ring Magazine. And he always just writes something, like, completely sarcastic, which is, like, this could be the greatest fight of all time, because nobody really knows much about Klitschko's opponent. So he's, like lining them up on, like, why this guy should be so great. He's like, well, he once held the draw with, like, a certain fighter who at one time beat another guy who was, like, I'm going to look for it right now. But, like, around to make it a fight like seem like it's gonna be so great, even though it's like theoretically on paper a mismatch. Sosnowski doesn't have Klitschko's pedigree, to be honest. I mean, for him to win, like, pitcher is going to have to age about 1,000 years overnight. I'm actually looking for it right now. Okay, here we go. You're going to love this. I just pulled it up. So it has this guy, Sosnowski, posing. And it's like, yeah. okay. In his last fight, Sosnowski had Francesco Polenta to a draw. Polenta was 18-0 coming in. So in other words, nobody has ever done as well as Polenta as Sosnowski did. Feather meat cat. In his most recent fight, he defeated Paolo Bardoz, a medalist. Vitaly Vladimir also won an Olympic medal. So it's kind of like Sosnowski win over Vladimir Klitschko. Just trying to tell Jim back, this is a great hook for this fight. Prior to that, Sosnowski knocked out Danny Williams, who of course knocked out Mike Tyson. How much clearer of an indication do you need that Sosnowski is better now than Mike Tyson ever was? And Sosnowski hasn't only beaten fighters or beaten world champions. The Polish Dragon has beaten world champions directly. The date is May 20th, 2005. The opponent was Owen Morris. Sosnowski prevailed by 6-round majority decision. That's the type of win that gets you on Ed Brophy's, I don't know who Ed Brophy is, but his speed dial. And then here's the last one regarding his loss to Jerry Lawrence. His little vocal minority criticizing him on the count of his one little loss to Jerry Lawrence. But Lawrence happens to be arguably the best pure boxer the heavyweight division ever known. We're talking about a fighter who hasn't without a single knockout in 44 pro fights. Wouldn't you have to have really patent-like skills in that department? Loss to Jerry Lawrence is nothing to hang your head on. And if you saw the fight on ESPN 2, you know the unanimous scores of 80-72 all in the scorecards are absurd. We gave Sosnowski at least 2 rounds. So that was actually rather entertaining.
All right, well, we have a whole bunch of other stuff. This is actually a pretty big weekend for boxing. We got Wilfredo Vasquez Jr. versus Zolt Bidak in Puerto Rico on Saturday. Vasquez is 18-0, one draw, 15 knockouts. Bidak is 15-0 with 5 knockouts. This is for the WBO Super Bantamweight title. Also, Roman Martinez, 23-0, versus Gonzalo Munguia. Martinez is undefeated, 23-0, 14 knockouts, one draw. Munguia is 17-6 with 13 knockouts and 3 draws. Also a pretty interesting female fight for the vacant WBO female light middleweight title between Gardy Pena, 9-1, with 2 draws, 6 knockouts, and Hannah Gabriel, 9-0-1, with 5 knockouts. And then we have some other stuff going on Saturday at the Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana. We got Montel Griffin, 49-8. 30 knockouts, light heavyweight, fighting Ross Thompson, 27-14 with 2 draws. Looks like he's had a lot of recent losses, so Griffin looks like he's been losing every other fight lately. But that's kind of interesting. We got another Jesus fight of the week from Chicago on Saturday. Jesus Soto Karras, who's 24-4 with 16 knockouts, 3 draws, fighting Gabriel Martinez, 24-1 with 1 draw and 13 knockouts. What else do we have? We're getting into Sunday. Now we're closing it out here. All right. Wednesday. Let's look at this card. We've got Wednesday in Wales. New South Wales. Sorry, Australia. 12-round middleweight fight between Daniel Gill, 22-1 with 13 knockouts, and Kariz Kariuki, 21-8 with 18 knockouts, 2 draws. Also a 12-round light middleweight fight between Robert Medley, 27-3, 17 knockouts, versus Sergio Leonidas Aparicio, 13-2 with 6 draws, 6 knockouts, 1 draw. And then finally, featherweight 12-rounder between Billy Dibb, 26-1, with 14 draws, and Vacharakit Sanaham, 17-2, one draw, 9 knockouts. And that's for the vacant IBF Pan Pacific featherweight title. And the main events for the IBF Pan Pacific middleweight title and the medley fight is for the IBF Australasian middleweight title. What the hell is that? Australasian.
It's just a combination of Australia and Asian. We're the only people that can play for that title.
I thought Pan Pacific was French. Australasian. That's kind of funny. I wonder what an Australian Asian would look like.
I don't know. That would be an interesting pairing, don't you think?
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for the big schedule for boxing. Well, there's probably a ton of other MMA stuff, fights going on, in addition to this big Plymouth card. But we're going to try Jimmy again, just to try. Not Jimmy. Jimmy's the guy who hooks up with David. David. This guy was calling. David George. Jim Jingle.
Hi, you've reached Dave George and also the voicemail of Combat Zone. Please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Sorry about that, folks. A little hang-up trouble.
Yo.
Whoops. I hung up on everybody instead of just
Steven. I hung up on everybody. Okay. I got an idea.
I got it back. Everything's live now.
Okay, we're all live. Okay.
Except David. We can get David. We got the answer machine. So, I'm going to send an email to Jimmy, and hopefully Jimmy can get through to David some other way.
Hold on, I got a good idea. Hold on 1 second. I'm doing something right now, and I'm going to email you a number to call, okay?
Okay.
Because I can get us a surprise guest. See if he is available. Actually, I'll get the other guy.
While we're waiting, I'm going to just run through the UFC card for this weekend. In addition to the Evans versus Jackson fight there, also this is going to be from MGM Grand Vegas. We got Michael Bisping versus Dan Miller. Bisping's 19-3, Miller's 11-3. We got Todd Duffy versus Mike Russo. Duffy's 6-0, Russo's 12-1-0. One no contest. We've got Antonio Rogerio Nogueira, not to be confused with the other Nogueira, Minotauro, versus Jason Brills, and Rogerio Nogueira is 18-3, and Brills is 18-2 with one draw. So it should be interesting. Very well matched right there. We get to Diego Sanchez fighting John Hathaway, who's undefeated at 13-0 at 170 pounds. Sanchez is 23-3, and he's looked pretty much unstoppable in his last few fights. Amir Sadala versus Dong Hyun Kim. Sadala is 4-1. Kim is 12-0-1. We got Efren Escudero versus Dan Lazon. Escudero's 13-1. Lazon's 12-3. Melvin Guillard versus Wayne Lowe. Guillard is 42-9-3. One no contest. Fighting Waylon Lowe, who's 8-2. We got Luis Kane versus Cyril Diabate. Kane's 11-2. One draw. Diabate is 16-6-3. And Aaron Riley versus Joe Brammer. Riley's 28-12 with one draw. Brammer's 7-1-1. And finally, Jesse Williams versus Ryan Jensen. Yeah.
Did you get the email I sent you?
Did I get it? Oh, my email changed. Mike.
Yeah, I'm texting him right now. Did you get that?
I didn't know you had Tyson's number.
You have what?
Tyson's number.
I have a lot of things, you know? I am awesome. About 3 seconds, I just texted him. Tell him to answer, because he won't answer his phone if he doesn't know the number.
Right.
So I just told him to answer when we call. it's a good friend of mine. I've trained him.
All right.
And he's going to a few fights, so we're just going to pick his brain. Bet he doesn't answer.
Hey, this is Mike. Leave a message.
Fucking cock.
Mike,
it's me. That's Tony, if you don't recognize the number. We were trying to get you live on the air, so we just got your voicemail live up there.
You can call us if you want. We got the call-in number.
Oh, he just texted me back. He's like, no, not on the radio.
He's checking it out.
Yeah, he's checking it out.
Call-in number then.
I'm going to get you somebody else then.
All right, well, I'm going to hang up on him.
Yeah, hang up on him.
All right, so that last UFC fight, just so I don't leave the record off, Forbes is 13-5. Jensen is 15-5. And then for other MMA, let's go to Sherdog. Good old Sherdog.com.
Okay, let's try this again. I'm going to get you another number.
Should we call Herb Dean?
Hello?
Herb Dean, the referee who gave me his number at the fights.
No, because we'll get him scheduled for a real one.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. It was just kind of funny that he's like, here's my number. I didn't even ask for it. He just was like, here's my number. I got to do that more often, go to some more big shows. Anyway, we got Bellator Fighting Championships. That must be going on.
No, when I get his number, I'll email it to you. He's another Google.
Future Stars of MMA, Las Vegas. Hold on. Oh, I lost Tony again. Legends of Fighting on the 28th tomorrow. Yep. Anna?
Hey, I'm here.
Hey. Just going over some MMA fights there. WCC Patel versus Barnett at the Allentown Fairground in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Let's see. We got support for Haiti, Art of War, AOF 7 at the Plock Amphitheater in Poland. And we got UFC 114 we already talked about. Rampage versus Evans. We got MMA Raju Ive in Estonia. Going on the 29th Saturday. Showdown at Six Flags by LTE Productions. Going on in Vallejo, California at the Six Flags there. Extreme Fight Arena going on Saturday from Poland as well. Heroes Gate 1 from Prague, Czech Republic, also on Saturday. Hormoni Seal from Herne, Germany, is hosting the beginning, GMMAC 1 on Saturday. Chandler, Queensland, Australia is hosting the Revolution Rise 5. And we got Gladiator Challenge, Red Alert from the Elko Indian Colony Gymnasium in Nevada. The Way of Shuto 3, Like a Tiger, Like a Dragon in Tokyo, Japan on the 30th. Second Coming Ring XF2 on Sunday in Poland. That's it for this week in MMA. Did you find a new guy for us to call?
I just emailed you his number and I just texted him. God knows what he's doing, but if we can get him on, it'll be hysterical.
Okay.
You never know what he's doing. He's always... Well, the other friends are like, fine, we'll get the other guy and say, he'll be better anyway.
Anyway. We pretty much ran through the upcoming schedules there.
Yeah,
here's a story. I meant to bring this story up. MMA fighters get all the glory. This is crazy. Tito Ortiz gets with freaking Jenna Jameson. I mean, the War Machine there was a porn star for a little while, even though that whole thing turned out to be a disaster. I still don't know what happened with that. I think it was a publicity stunt, I guess. The fight at the boss's house or something, or his girlfriend, maybe the supposedly laid out eight guys on the land. I heard that was a publicity stunt later on, and I still didn't hear the whole story. But anyway, I wanted to mention a big story about Kendra Wilkinson from Girls Next Door.
Yep. She's married to a football player.
Right. But I don't know if you've heard, there's this deal now. She's having trouble with her marriage because of this sex tape she wants to sell.
Yep.
And it's weird when a celebrity gets mixed into a sex tape and it's getting publicized and the person wants it to be publicized. Obviously, she's a different story. She's actually, you know, been naked in Playboy, obviously, so... She must not really care as much as a regular celebrity who hadn't been seen nude before that, except by her significant other who did the tape.
Yeah.
You know, so this is kind of weird, but she's going to walk away with 50% of the sales of the tape.
And it's going to be like, how many millions?
I don't know. And this is early stuff with her. And this guy was, he had one MMA fight, the guy that was involved, and he's going to make only $100,000 flat rate, but she makes 50% of the sales. So that's kind of interesting. But the guy's name is Justin Fry, and there's a story on Bleacher Report that has the video. Justin Fry versus David Larson. He's only had one MMA fight, but because of that, we get to mention him in this story on the Combat Sports Show. It's going to be on Vivid Video. It's going to be called Kendra Exposed, and they say it's going to challenge Pamela Anderson, Kim Kardashian, and country singer Mindy McCready for the top celebrity sex tape ever.
Wow.
Now, I'll tell you, I didn't even know Kardashian or McCready even had sex tapes. But now I'm going to have to check those out. That's pretty cool. It was a first-round TKO victory Fry had. His one MMA fight in November 2006. And he just walked away because he knew he was going to make $100,000 on a sex tape.
Yeah, right. Why get beat up when you don't have to? It's a lot more fun doing that, you know?
Right. Let's see what we got for boxing stories on the front of a box right there.
And you know, talking about sex tapes, if we can get our guest on that I'm trying to get, he is the guy to talk to, because he will crack you jokes on shit like that, that you will, like, you'll literally piss your pants.
Well, Boxshark is saying, boxing world needs Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather fight before retirement strikes.
If they can agree to it, if they can agree to the deals.
Well, here's another kind of sex-related story. Not quite as entertaining as the other one, but it's kind of a whacked story. Another Ultimate Fighter connection. There was a guy from the Ultimate Fighter who just lost his last fight, actually, trying to get back into the house after being eliminated. He was on break. I guess he had his son, and they let him on break, or he was done filming the show, and he was somewhere at home around his house, and he was cornered by a pack of pit bulls.
Nice.
And he was bitten in so many places. One of them actually bit a hole for his penis. He was talking about it on the show. And he said he had to have a catheter for a week because of that. And they're asking him, like, how do you fight pit bulls? Like, what were you doing? And he goes, well, it was pretty much sprawl and brawl and all low hooks. And a lot of soccer kicks, he said. I mean, obviously the guy does not know how to deal with dogs. If you get bit that many times.
Yeah, well,
I tried to bite them. I mean, you either run, or, well, that's not even a good idea, or you just yell. Just yell at them.
Yeah. Do something to back them the hell off. Running ain't going to do it, and biting sure as hell ain't going to do it.
And punching? That's the worst thing you can do.
I mean, that ain't going to do it either.
No. Get a 2x4 or something. I know, heat of the moment, I wasn't there, so I really can't criticize, but still, get a clue, buddy. Don't run around pit bulls. Anyway, if your pit bull was beaten up recently, contact Mike Diascola. Yeah, this guy. Pacquiao was in the hospital recently, accordingly.
I heard that. He had some kind of a stomach ailment. Didn't eat that chili.
Guess so. Maybe somebody doesn't want him to run for office and they're trying to poison him.
Yeah, right.
He's running for the Philippine Senate or something like that, I think. Last time I checked. Over 30,000 tickets have been sold for the boxing event at the Yankee Stadium.
That ain't bad.
Yeah, that's... What is it, next weekend?
June 5th, next Saturday. I mean, I'm sure that all the people that are going, none of them are going to speak English, but hey, easy to get, right?
What are you saying? There's going to be a bunch of Yiddish people in the...
There might be a few Yiddish people there, but I think it's mainly going to be mostly Puerto Rican. New York, Puerto Rican, come on, you know it.
There'll be a whole bunch of Jewish people dressed in black selling diamonds to the Puerto Ricans.
Maybe.
In the stands.
So you think we should try our other backup guest?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Don't forget about that. I know, like I said, I'm almost 90% sure he's not going to answer, but it'll be funny anyway. I can leave a stupid message on his machine.
Steve-o, huh?
Yeah.
We would have had a guest on from the KHFX circuit there, since they're having that fight tomorrow night in Plymouth, but tonight is their weigh-in.
Nice.
They're all at the weigh-in. Being weighed.
If they don't want to get disrupted while they're doing that, I can understand why. I mean, I was usually grumpy when I was weighing in. Aside from now, which I'm usually grumpy for the fact of being grumpy.
Steve's phone is ringing off the hook. Even though he can't hear it.
Dear Steve, I can't go to the phone right now, but if you need me a brief message, I'll call you back as soon as I can. All right? Thanks a lot.
To leave a voice message, press 1, or just wait for the tone. To send a numeric page, press 2 now. At the tone, please record your voice message.
Great.
When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Don't hang up on me either. Steve, damn it, didn't I text you to tell you to be available? We're going to have you live on our show tonight. I told you for 1 minute, for you and Johnny to stop having your monkey anal sex and get on the show with us and talk some legitimate boxing and mixed martial arts. But no, you and Johnny and his power left hook, you always want to hang out together. I see how it is. Well, we're going to get you on as a guest one day, whether you like it or not. All right? Steve, have a good rest of the night. I'll see you on January 5th when we go bowling. Later. Okay, Rich, you can hang up on him now.
I already did. I'm way ahead of you. Anyway.
Good. How was my message?
That was good. That was pretty good. I can't believe it. We got everything banged out in an hour, pretty much, and more. We talked Celtic.
Well, a lot of times, you know, you have a problem when you get to, like, a holiday weekend, like Memorial Day. A lot of times, like, there's not a whole lot of primetime fights going on. That's why I was kind of surprised.
For Friday night fights. I don't know whether I just missed that because I didn't come up on the search that I usually do, or if there is no Friday night fights this weekend.
Go look under, check out, see if there's anything going on Friday. Just look under Box Rec normally, just under the date. Like I said, I would do it myself, but my computer's a piece of shit, and I'm too lazy to do it with the laptop.
How about I just go to ESPN?
Or you can do that.
Oh, speaking of combat sports and ESPN and Celtics and basketball, did you see that elbow that almost knocked out Big Baby last night?
No, what happened?
Glenn Davis from the Celtics, they go Big Baby. He got elbowed in the face by Dwight Howard, and they were comparing it to the Mike Tyson Buster Douglas fight where Tyson put his mouthpiece back in.
How did he hit that?
Big Baby got hit right in the chin when Howard was coming down from a dunk or something. And just elbowed him right in the chin. And Big Baby hit the ground, and we got up. He was, like, all woozy. So he was stumbling all over the court until the referee grabbed him, prevented him from falling on his face. That's kind of funny.
What the hell did I want to tell you about that? Oh, yeah, I was thinking about the Celtics because, right after the Bruins lost, I have a friend, another friend of mine from Boston. He would have come to the game last year, too, but he had a wedding that day. And he said something on his Facebook page, and his one friend was, like, all pissed off. One friend was like, "Ew, the hell with Philadelphia? They're not even a real sports town." And he's like, his friend was so salty. And I was going to respond to the guy, but I was like, you know, I'm just going to let him be, because he's already just obviously, like, too distraught right now. But why are they called the Boston Celtics? Isn't that really supposed to be, like, if you look at that word, C-E-L-T-I-C, isn't that really pronounced Celtic? Like, he's a wrestler now. He's from Ireland. He's called the Celtic Warrior.
Right.
Why is it Celtic instead of Celtic?
Oh.
Yeah. That's another thing. Your team should be penalized 2 wins for, you know, being pronounced wrong.
The Boston Celtics?
Yeah, the Boston Celtics. I know, it doesn't. But you know what? Then again, the same thing is like...
I bet you I know. I bet you I know. Because, you know, B and C, right? A, B, C. Boston Celtics, you know. How that sounds. B, C. Boston.
Yeah, I guess. We used to have we used to have a discussion when I was in college. You know, when I wasn't studying, which was constantly, about sports teams, like some of them had stupid names. Okay, Philadelphia Eagles. That's okay, you know what an eagle is. The New York Giants, okay, the Giants, something big. The Dallas Cowboys, you know what a cowboy is. I turned to my friend with them, I'm like, what the hell is a flyer? He's like, well, I guess it's somebody that goes fast. I'm like, well, okay, I can live with that. I'm like, what the hell is a filly? I'm like, wasn't that like a female horse? I'm like, oh, well, that's very intimidating. My friend was from Pittsburgh. He turned around and he goes, intimidating? He goes, the Pittsburgh Pirates, tough. The Pittsburgh Steelers, we work in a steel town. We do tough things. The Pittsburgh Penguins, he goes, yeah, I know the Penguins and it's ice and ice hockey is supposed to be on cold and everything, but can you find a lesser intimidating creature on this world than a penguin? He's like, that just oozes fear into you.
No, there's been a few shows about crazy mascots, stories on TV that I've seen. It's that commercial, isn't there, about, like, what's the least intimidating mascot? There's
something I called the penguin being one of them.
The bull evil. One of them. Statue. Friday Night Fights. May 27th.
Okay, so that is, May 27th is today, isn't it?
It is today. It's Thursday night flights.
God damn it, nobody told me.
It's on Fox Sports Net, it says. That's why. David Rodella versus Eric Cruz. Going on right now. Frankie Gomez versus Akeem Ekinbode. Jose Navarro versus Ben Garcia. And, this is definitely the Jesus fight of the week. Jesus Rodriguez versus Jesus Juarez. So we got May 28th, ESPN2, Eric Lucas versus Labrado Andrade, 10 rounds light heavyweights. Renan St. Just versus Marcus Upshaw, 10 rounds middleweights. Benoit Gaudet versus Uriel Barrera, 8 or 10 rounds. I don't get that. 8 or 10. They don't know. According to ESPN, junior lightweights. Then we got Pierre Oliver Cote versus Juan Pablo Sanchez, 6 or 8 rounds. Lightweights, Mikhail Zuski versus TBA, 4 rounds. Welterweights, Francie Tatou versus Aman Salamani, 4 rounds. Super middleweights. And Eric Martel Baholi versus Chad Brun, 4-round heavyweights.
Tim?
Oh, there you are.
That's all we got. I don't know what else there is. We could talk about the Red Sox beating up on the Phillies.
Ah, blah, blah, blah. They got Halliday on a bad day. It happened. You know, the Phillies have been playing like shit lately, and it doesn't make me happy. They got shut out in like 3 of their last 4 games.
Yeah.
They scored one. They scored in 1 inning out of their last 38.
I couldn't believe it.
I can take time because they just
swept the damn Devils. But anyway, I think we're pretty much run out of topics. Can't get a guest. What can we do?
I'm trying to get us 2 guests. I can't help it. The one wanted to be a weenie, and the other one had a monkey anal sex.
Well, we won't interrupt that. Sounds like that's a full night's commitment. So, until next week, when we will likely have some kind of fighter or promoter, maybe Dave next week, since his fight is still coming up, we have plenty of time. We'll get Dave back on for next week. I know I didn't really have a whole lot of time to make sure that got set up right tonight, so I apologize for that, but next week we'll definitely try to get him on again and someone else. Maybe one of my 4 or 5 people that I met at the event. vent there. Get them on. Figure it out. But until then, thanks for stopping by, and have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Okay, weekend, everybody. Don't forget, remember why we celebrate Memorial Day weekend.
Exactly.
It's not all about barbecues. It's not all about, you know, getting a day off of work, even though you're making me work this weekend. The most important thing is remembering and paying tribute to many, many men and women who have died for this country, the reason that we're able to stay free like that, and may God bless them, and take a few moments just to reflect while you have a few days off.
Right. And, you know, I really had that experience of having a hit home with my buddy Tony Palermo there, and we started TonyPalermoMemorial.info, AnthonyPalermoMemorial.info, and also MemorialsForHeroes.com. So we're going to try to keep doing stuff for other soldiers as well. And I know they have a moving wall, a memorial wall down here at the Naval Air Station, like 5 minutes from my house on Saturday. So I'm going to try to check that out. I know that his name will be on that. And there's more and more talk about an Iraq and Afghanistan war memorial in D.C., so hopefully a lot of people get behind that. I know it's just from doing a little bit of preliminary marketing for memorialsforheroes.com, I'm noticing there's just a ton of different companies out there that deal with charity or something related to troops or veterans. There's just a ton of groups out there. So I'm not going to have trouble finding people to coordinate with. That's for sure. Anyway, happy Memorial Day weekend, and we'll see you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
All right, well, it sounds good, and we will talk again next week.
Go Red Sox.
Celtics.
No collapse.
Go Flyers.
Yeah,
I'm almost happy for a day.
Stanley Cup playoffs. Lucky you.
Stanley Cup finals.
No Bergerons in the playoffs now. I thought there were going to be two Bergerons.
Any Bergerons in the playoffs?
There's none.
Yeah, we eliminated both of them. I was about to say, I was hoping there'd be a Bergeron on the Red Sox, too. Or not the Red Sox, the Blackhawks.
Nope. All right. Go back and hang out at Philly.
All right. I'll see you guys later. All right.
Next week. Signing off.